So I have a message this morning. I had been praying already for a while to see what God would have for us. And the message that God put on my heart is forgive, or forgiveness, or forgiven. And maybe you'll know why God put this on my heart. Maybe it's just for me. So anyway, this is a topic that is a challenging topic. And even to share the topic and just think of, you know, how when we examine our own lives, how many times have I been stubborn and unwilling to forgive? And Jesus gives us some very clear warnings in his word about if we are unwilling to forgive. So let's pray and ask God to be here. Lord, we come to you one more time, and we are thankful, Lord, that we can flee to the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, when we look at the example in the Old Testament, when somebody had done something, they could flee to that city and they could be protected there. And today we can flee to you, Lord. We can be protected. The enemy wants to destroy us. He is seeking to destroy our soul. He would like to see us in hell. And yet we know, Lord, that by the blood, through the blood, that if we are washed by the blood, we can enter this city and we can be protected there. We can be there all for all eternity with you, God. And we thank you for that, God. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just come down. I pray that you would just give us understanding in this subject, Lord, that we have before us, God, thinking of who you are and how you have forgiven us, God, and how we need to extend that same thing, Lord, to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a fair amount of verses that I would like to read this morning. First one I would like to read is 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And this was a verse that I added here yet this morning as I was thinking about what Paul is saying here. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so this is the thing that we need to look at this morning and seeing how does God extend his forgiveness to us, and how can we then extend forgiveness to others? So we think of what Paul was saying here. He was imitating Christ. And so how should we be imitators of Christ and how he forgives and how God forgives, how God is just out there? Like I really like what John had shared here about Reggie. God had already set something in motion a few weeks ago, and then when they started praying, they didn't know that, but God was already working out the details. When we think of God extending his forgiveness to us, he's done that same thing. When we had our backs turned towards him, when we hated him, when we hated the truth, God was already providing a way of salvation for us, a way of forgiveness. And it wasn't that we were seeking him. It was when we had our backs turned towards him. So with this verse here, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Today I want to challenge us to be imitators of the way that God deals with us when we have sinned. And some of the things that went through my mind were things like this. When we are sinning, when we are offending him, when we are destroying him in a way, when we are casting his name down, when we are trampling him underfoot, he's there seeking us. He's pleading with us. He's calling us. He wants to extend his forgiveness. And it is for his name's sake. Psalm chapter 32. It's been a chapter that's been one of my favorites to read over and over through the years. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. So when we think of this, many are the sorrows of the wicked. And so we have found it. Each one of us who has found the Lord, when we were walking in wickedness, was it really a joyful place to be? Was it peace? No, it wasn't. But when we think of what he says here, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's God's heart. He wants to forgive us. No matter where we find ourselves or where we've been, what sin we've been in, he wants to forgive us. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So now when we think of this verse, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. When I hold something against somebody and I'm unwilling to forgive that person, am I withholding a blessing from that person? He says, blessed is the one who's forgiven. And so often, just thinking of myself, how I have been, maybe something has happened to me, something's been said to me, and I sit there and I pout, and I'm like, well, I want you to treat me well before I'm going to forgive you. I want you to behave yourself. And we have this attitude of, I'm not going to forgive you until you start treating me better. And when we think of what God did when he sent Christ to the cross, there wasn't anything good in us that we deserved to have Christ come to the cross. At least I can't see any good that was in me. I was wicked. And Christ was willing to come at that point, in that time, to come and forgive me and extend his forgiveness to me. So blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So when we acknowledge our sin, he is willing. That's what he's required. He says, come and confess your sin, and he's willing to forgive us. He's willing to extend that to us. He's already waiting there. How often do you find yourself waiting when somebody's offended you that they're going to just come to you? Or are you like, you have your back turned towards them, and you better knock on my shoulder a few times before I'm going to be extending forgiveness to you? It's not the way God works. God has already extended that before we were there. Isaiah 1, these are very familiar things to us, and yet I think they are important to remember in what God has said. Isaiah 16:20. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's. Come now, let us together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In the verse 18 here, who is the one that's calling? How often have you, when somebody has offended you, just said, you know what, I'm just going to go up to this person, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to plead with them that I want to forgive them? And that's something that really challenged me to think that if I want to, like the first verse that we read here in 1 Corinthians 11, be imitators of Christ. How did Christ extend his forgiveness to me? So what kind of attitude and what kind of approach do I need to have when something has happened to me? The same approach. If we want to be imitators of Christ, we need to look at this and we need to say, this is how God does it towards me. Then this is how I need to do it towards others. And I know, I confess this before you. I haven't always done this. I've sat somewhere in a corner pouting, and I have put myself away from this situation and tried to avoid the situation because it's that person's problem. But really, God has given us a recipe on how to restore and forgive somebody who's done something to us right here. So next time when somebody's done something to you, or maybe there's even something that's on your mind right now, call that person. Say, come now. Let's reason together. And though you have offended me and it says blood red, I'm bleeding, this thing is going to be washed away. This thing is going to be dealt with. And that will be the approach that Christ, that God has towards us if we live in this way. If we are willing to extend forgiveness in the way that He has prescribed. So anyway, this is just one example that we have here. I thought of another one here. This is not exactly about forgiveness, but thinking of how He is towards us, how He calls us, and that's what we want to see here, how God, though we had betrayed Him, we had sinned against Him, in this state, He was willing to just reach out to us and say, come. He's calling us. He wants to extend this forgiveness to us. Isaiah 55, 1 through 7. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So in the end he says, for he will abundantly pardon. God is just waiting there to pardon all mankind. And that's totally different than the mindset that we have so often. We're not waiting to pardon. Or do you find yourselves at all, in all circumstances, when you've been offended by somebody, do you find yourself just waiting there with rejoicing that you want to pardon this person? You just cannot wait until you have this thing dealt with in an attitude of joy instead of this attitude of, no, I'll show you. I'm gonna show you how I am. That attitude is wrong. That's exactly the opposite than what God has called us to. Do we have this same attitude? Come, everyone who thirsts. Is that person sitting there and they're actually sorry for what they've done, and I have this attitude of, you need to be a little better yet. You need to perform just a little bit better, and then I'll be willing to communicate with you and talk with you and extend this cup of water to you and reach out the right hand of fellowship to you. It's the opposite of what God does towards us. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I just find interesting what he says here and how it goes in order. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. What does he say then? So he says he's done this, and then he says, return to me, for I have redeemed you. Return to me. So he tells them, I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. And then he says, return to me. How often do we go with that attitude that I've already dealt with that. I blotted that thing out. What you've done to me, I blotted that thing out. Just return to me. I want this relationship to be restored. I want to forgive you, and I want to move on from here. I haven't found it like that, that I have been like that all the time. And then 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. For his sake. Can you imagine if we would be willing to forgive people for our sake? That we would just be like, I want this peace. I want you to be forgiven. Having that mentality, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sin. I will not remember your sins. I hope this challenges you as it did me. I have just really, really been challenged thinking that I have failed in this area tremendously. And then in Micah, we have some verses too. You will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. How do we do when we have been challenged with somebody hurting us? Do we do the same thing? Cast the thing that they've done to us into the sea? Or do we carry it in our pocket and in our feelings pocket, and just that thing is always just bothering us there? Things that people have done in the past. Maybe they've even already shared with us that they're sorry, and we still hold that thing there. Thinking here in John 6, again, this is an example of what God does to us. And just looking at how God provided this. Here he's talking about the bread of life. Who provided this bread of life? It was God. Why did he provide this bread of life? So that we could live. When we partake of Christ, we can live. So look at this as an example of how God extends his forgiveness towards us, and then how we should perform the same thing to others. Jesus said to him, verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. This is interesting when he says this here, that the Father gives to him. He will not cast them out. What separated us from God? It was our sin. And who made it possible that could be dealt with and done away with? Was it that we were so good now towards God? And that's what I want us to remember. Let us not hold people up to a higher standard than what God holds us up to. When we were walking in wickedness, he extended his forgiveness to us. Let's not hold that standard higher and say, well, when you start behaving, then I'm going to forgive you. That's not how God forgives people. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the will of the Father. How many people were standing there at the cross and just, you know, behaving themselves, and Christ didn't need to die for that person there? All was lost. Everyone was lost. And that's why Christ was there. This is the love that the Father has towards us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. So this verse here again, no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. When did he draw you? When you were walking out all the laws of the land, and you were just this perfect person, that's when he drew you? I did not find it that way. He drew me when I was in the pit of sin. When I was walking in darkness, he drew me. When's the last time you have drawn somebody like this and wanted that relationship where they offended you to be dealt with in this way, when they're still despising you and rejecting you and speaking evil of you. When do we find ourselves living out this? It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for you, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So I just marvel at how God presents this thing. This is something that he offers. This is something he's provided. He's provided this bread of life. And he extends it out to people that despise him, reject him, who nail him to the cross, who hate him, who spit upon, who mock him. He's there extending this forgiveness to them. And then verse 53 here, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So this is just the way that God extends it. And his hand will not always be outstretched, that he will always provide this forgiveness for people. At some point it will stop. But today it's still there. Today it's still extended there. Is my hand extended out to the one who has offended me? Ephesians 1, 6 through 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In him we have redemption. Through him, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So this is something that's very important to remember. It's not that we did something to receive this, that we had all these goodies that we had done to the Lord that he extended his forgiveness to us. So can we hold that standard up for other people that they have to treat us well before we forgive them? We dare not do that. Ephesians 1, 3 through 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I thought here Paul just said it very well. Who did this? Whose plan was this? Before the foundation of the world, this was his plan. When we had yet to do all these wicked things that we would do, this was his plan. His plan was not to turn his back towards us and hate us and condemn us. That's a choice we make. This has been extended to us, this forgiveness. This is the same type of forgiveness we need to extend to others. It should be our goal, our utmost goal, when we face a situation where something's going to happen and we're going to be offended, it should be our goal from before that thing happens. I am going to live like Christ in this situation. I am going to extend forgiveness. I'm going to extend mercy to this person. I'm going to love this person. How will Christ be seen if we live just like everybody else in the world and we have a bitter attitude and a heart of evil? If you offend me, that's it. This relationship is done. That's not what God did. From the foundation, before the foundation of the world, he was already willing to send Christ to forgive us. That's what he was willing to do. Before the foundation of something happening to you, before that thing happens and gets built, are you already there wanting to extend forgiveness to that person? You might be facing a situation where you know something's going to happen, it's going to be offensive. Maybe Monday, the person you're working for, you know you're going to get it. Are you ready to just forgive? Are you ready to just lay that thing to the side and love that person? Or do we come prepared with, well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and this, and this? That's how we often come up to a situation. We already have all these thoughts of how we're going to deal with the situation, have all these comebacks on how I'm going to let this person know what I think. If God had done that towards us, where would we be today? Where would we find ourselves? So to imitate Christ, we must imitate him in forgiving others as he did towards us. We must. Looking at this scripture, we see the same heart we see through the scripture, God seeking out to forgive us. I was reading this the story of David when he had sinned. Thinking of how, was it Nathan? Saying the prophet wrong now. Yeah, it was Nathan, right, that came to him. And he shared with him. How did it start there? It said the Lord sent him. Was it David that came to God and said, look, I'm sorry for what I've done? No. David said, this man who has done this thing, he deserves to die. And here God said to Nathan, go talk to him. Who was extending the hand out to forgive? It was God. Yeah, and in that story there, we see there was consequences for the things that he did. The child had to die. But it says that God did not kill David. He did not do to him according to what David himself had said. This man deserves to die. God was willing to go out and seek him. I don't know if maybe somebody of us could raise their hand and say that we've done what God has done to us and we've just gone and sought that person. When somebody's offended us, we go out and do the same thing God has done to us. So we just go out and seek that person with joy and love and want to have this thing dealt with. If we haven't, maybe today's the day that we need to turn this thing around and extend the same type of forgiveness towards others. Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. He is good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon him. Then I had Hebrews 8. Just a series of verses that I wrote down here about how God is. Verse 12, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Can you imagine the whole world and us having our hearts turned against God? Over and over, God had pled with Israel. He had come to them and said, I'm putting before you life and death, and they chose death. He put before them life and death, and they chose death. Over and over. And this is still the heart of God. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. And then 10:17. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And then we have, again, another verse here in Psalm. You don't have to turn to all these if you don't want to. I know it's a lot of flipping back and forth, but I just want us to see a picture throughout Scripture how God's heart is in the matter of forgiving us. Verse 12, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Do we do the same thing? Is that the attitude we have when we approach somebody and we want to deal with this thing? We want to extend this forgiveness. I want this thing to be gone because I love you. So as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions. Then Daniel 9:9, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. This is an interesting. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. There's forgiveness so that he may be feared. And then to think, if what he's asking here, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Which one of us could stand today if God had not extended his mercy and forgiveness towards us? We could not stand. How do we expect other people to be blessed, like the verse that we read in Psalm 32, because we have forgiven them? Or do we withhold that blessing from them? It's not just this mentality of, oh, I want to be blessed, therefore, I'm going to deal with this thing. We want to extend a blessing to that person who has offended us. Having the mind of Christ in that I want that person to be blessed. Why did God forgive us? Because he wants us to be blessed. And then the verse that we know, if we humble ourselves, he will hear from heaven and will forgive in Chronicles. And then the free gift of God is eternal life in Romans 6. Over and over and over and over and over in God's Word, we find how God's steadfast love and his mercy and forgiveness is extended to us. So the standard that we want to raise this morning is God's standard. This is what God wants us to extend to other people, this same standard. Then Ephesians 2, 1 through 13. We already read some verses here. And you, this is when God extended all this. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So again, like when you read this with this mentality and this mindset of what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us, when did He do this? When did He extend this? When we were dead in our trespasses, when we were walking in the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, we were carrying out the desires of the flesh. We hated God. We loved our sin. That's when He extended this. Do we have reason then to extend that same thing when this person is reviling us? Why do we find it so easy just to have all these comebacks when somebody, when we're offended, somebody says something to us, they've hurt us or whatever they've done. We have all these things that we right away come up with. Is that what Christ did? He was silent when He went there to the cross. When we were bruising Him, when we were spitting upon Him, and when we hated Him, He did not have words that He was there to condemn us. He came to save us. Are you coming to save the situation that you might find yourself in? Or do you have that same attitude that I'm not going to extend this? Because we have clear warnings in God's word. If we are not willing to forgive, then God is not willing to forgive us. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Again, these are things that are very familiar to us. There's a story of the servant who was forgiven and what he did. It's the exact opposite of what we should do. Starting verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold. This is many times we have this same mentality. I'm going to sell you for what I think this thing is worth. To be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. That's how God does to us. He's willing. He has pity on us. He knows what we are. He knows who we are. So He's willing to extend this to us. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Have we found ourselves in this situation where somebody has already come to us and just said, I'm sorry. And we still turn our back towards that person and we're not willing to extend forgiveness to them. Here it talks about money. When we think of offenses that come in different ways of an offensive word or whatever it is that comes to your mind, do we have the same mentality? If we would have all the things listed here, of the things that we have done towards God, and one person comes to us and maybe gave us the wrong look, or maybe they turned their car into our lane too quickly and I really had to slam my brakes and I just fume and I'm angry at the person or whatever it is. that small thing compared to that whole list. Do we want God to deal with us according to the way that we deal with others in extending forgiveness? Are we going to be like this? Here, like I said, it's talking about money here, but let's turn this thing into offenses as into where somebody has sinned against us. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. Then they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is God's requirement. I believe that he requires us to extend the same forgiveness, the same mercy, the same love towards others as he has extended to us. And we are not perfect people. I'm not saying that we're going to always do everything right and have all these things exactly right, but this should be our goal. Our aim should be, in whatever situation I find myself, I am willing to extend the same mercy and forgiveness to you as God has extended to me. Already running there in a way, hey, I just want you to know I am forgiving you. Can you imagine if we come to the other side and we come into eternity and we're told this because we were not willing to extend this forgiveness to other people? God will treat us the same way. That's what he says here. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This has to be present in our life if we are walking with God. If we want to be imitators of Christ, this has to be present there. Does this really mean if I do not forgive others that God will not forgive me? Yeah. That's what it means. It's a challenging thing to live this thing out. But I believe that by God's strength, we can live this thing out. And what kind of an impact will we have on the people around us when we live this thing out? Our relationships that might be broken right now can be restored because I want to have the mind of Christ. I am going to extend this to this person. And yesterday, as I was preparing for this, I could remember a person right away. Oh, with this person, I failed in this thing. I have not been willing to extend this type of forgiveness to this person. The servant had complete forgiveness. Isn't this interesting? Somebody owed this servant something, and the king was willing to forgive this person, even though there was a situation that was there. That's how God is. God loves us, and he reminds us of things, even in the future, if I can say it this way, after we get converted, sometime in the future he reminds us, oh, this situation hasn't been dealt with. He's still willing at that point to forgive us of the things that we've done. So when you came to Christ, were you perfect and you did not need his mercy? When you came to the Lord, did you not need his forgiveness? Or was it the reason that you came to God because you knew that he would be willing to forgive you? Can you imagine how people would behave themselves towards us if they knew that we would extend this type of forgiveness to them? How easy in a marriage relationship if our spouse would know, I know I failed, but I know that my husband or my wife, they are living this out, what Christ has done. And when I go, and when that relationship, or when we come to talk together, I know that this same mercy, this same forgiveness is going to be extended to me right away. What kind of a difference there would be in our relationships? Our children can come to us and they know, oh, my dad, I know that I've done something wrong and I'm so sorry for what I've done. And my dad is going to be ready right there, just like Jesus. He's going to forgive me. What kind of peace there could be in our homes if we live this thing out? in our relationship between husband and wife. Oftentimes, I have found myself, when a situation arose, I spend a few hours pouting there, or I go to work, or whatever it is, and I have to deal with this thing. But if we would live this thing out right away, just, no, we're going to make peace, I'm going to forgive, we're going to remove this thing as far as the east is from the west, we're going to bury this thing in the sea, this thing is dealt with. That's what Christ is calling us to. The question is, are we willing to follow him and imitate him as he has done to us? Seek out the person, have compassion, have mercy, practice love, sit and reason together. He's already said what we should do. He said, come here, let's reason together. Let's talk about this thing. Let's deal with this thing. And this thing is going to be washed away like white as snow. We say we want to live like Jesus. Do we still want to live too if this is what's required? Do we still want to? Do we still want to follow him if we know that this is the requirement he has for us? And I believe that each one of us in here does. I believe that to live this thing out, we're going to need God's help. It's not going to flow naturally from us. If we want to live this thing out, we are not going to be able to walk according to the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit of God. Then the strength will be there. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Are we willing to cover the offenses instead of going and talking about this thing? God would have every reason to complain about us. And he would have every reason to lift everything up against us. But he chooses to put these things away. Do we choose the same thing? Whoever covers an offense seeks love. That was out of Proverbs 17:9. And then I have another one here. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And God lived this out, and we want to live out the same thing. Mark 11, verse 25. I'm not going to read all these verses that I have listed here, but when praying, forgive. You find yourself standing there praying, you remember that, oh, this person has offended me. Jesus says, while standing there praying, forgive the person. Forgive each other, Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:12, bear with each other. Luke 6:37, forgive and you will be forgiven. Luke 17:3-4, rebuke and forgive. So when I think of rebuke, what comes to my mind is, well, you offended me. But when I look at how God does the rebuking, if we can say it that way, how does he do it? It's a totally different form of sharing what's happened with us and extending that forgiveness than the mentality we have. I'm going to rebuke that person and we'll see if he's going to get forgiveness from me. Rebuke and forgive, that's what Jesus says. So we share the fault, but we do it with an attitude that I am coming here and we are going to clear this thing up. Again, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Following Christ as Paul did. He's calling us to follow Christ as he did. Let us be imitators of God in this matter of forgiveness. Follow Jesus in his loving kindness, full of mercy, full of love, full of forgiveness. Don't be stubborn and wait till the person is perfect in your eyes. Remember, Christ died for us, being willing to forgive us when we were dead in trespasses. So may God help us to extend this same type of forgiveness the same way as Christ did towards us. May God bless you.